So regular listeners are going to recognize the voice and the work of the Reverend Angela Tyler Williams. The work was always important, but suddenly it's essential as faith-based responses to the sudden loss of Roe v. Wade and in many states loss of access to reproductive care become an urgent matter of life and death for all of us. Angela's co-director for movement building at Sacred, Spiritual Alliance of Communities for Reproductive Dignity. And I'm so thankful, Angela, that you are able to join us here today on State of Belief. Welcome.
Thank you, Catherine. It is good to be with you again.
It's kind of sinking in, I think, that the stakes of pregnancy, of intimacy itself, have suddenly and fundamentally changed in this country in ways that we didn't imagine possible. So what have you at Sacred and other partners across the country, what did you do to prepare for the Supreme Court striking down Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, so Sacred is an alliance of organizers, religious leaders, academics, and congregations working together to advance the cause of reproductive justice through congregational designation and community building programs. And so part of what we have been doing was taking lots of deep breaths. We've known, we've anticipated this decision for a long time. And there is, as you said, there's that urgency of the moment. And sometimes there's a tendency to let the urgency of the moment move us towards action. And we're excited that there are so many more people who are ready to speak up and join our movement. And we start by taking a deep breath and by slowing down and by saying, okay, if I'm new to this moment, what is there that I need to learn first? Who has already been doing this work? And that's sort of what we're trying to do at Sacred, is connecting faith leaders across the country with the organizations that have been doing this work for a long time. We want to connect folks and say, hey, who in your state, who in your region is already active on this? And how can you support them? How can congregations that are institutions within the community that have resources, that have assets, how can these congregations be an added value to the reproductive health rights and justice movement? And again, in this moment of crisis, of urgency, there's a real temptation to flood the phones of your local Planned Parenthood or your local abortion clinic or your local abortion fund. And we want to caution folks not to do that because those folks are really busy already trying to get people who are pregnant right now and don't want to be for whatever reason. They are focused on getting them the care that they need. And the landscape is shifting so much, so quickly, so rapidly. The legal things are changing day by day by day. And it's purely chaotic, especially for our partners who are abortion providers and the patients who they're having to get their appointments canceled or rescheduled. And, oh, now I have to travel 500, 1,000 miles to get to the closest clinic. Do I have the resources for that? And I think that's what's really at stake here, is just the cruelty of this decision, the cruelty of the legislation that turns people's lives into chaos. It's cruel when the state attacks people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So give us a little glimpse into what Sacred and, I mean, your organization and the faith group, you know, faith rooted groups that you're working with. What are you doing right now, you know, on the ground for folks who are pregnant and left without resources?
Yeah, so we're encouraging our faith leaders to really provide spaces for spiritual care. The fact of the matter is that 1 in 4 women in this country will have an abortion by the time they're age 45, much less to the trans and non-binary people who are not included in that statistic, but also need access to abortion care. And that means 1 in 4 people in your congregation have had an abortion. And so how about we create spaces for people to share those stories? And unfortunately, a lot of those stories are kept in the shadows, are hidden away because of the stigma against abortion. But at Sacred, we're trying to create faith communities where people are free to share their full reproductive story and share how that weaves into their faith story, free from shame, judgment, or stigma. So we're starting with that spiritual care. And then we're talking about centering the most impacted. That is going to be people who are pregnant at this moment, people who can become pregnant. And we know that this kind of legislation and these kinds of Supreme Court decisions already impact those who are already on the margins of society, people who are low income, people of color, LGBTQIA plus folks. Those are the people who are going to be most impacted by these kinds of Supreme Court judicial and legislative actions. And then we've got to build community around this. Again, for so long, the world has said your faith story and your reproductive story have to be very separate, and that reproductive decisions are somehow different, are a different moral case or a different moral classification. And that's just not true. There are plenty of folks I know who I've walked with a couple of friends who have been pregnant in the past few years who say this has been a profoundly spiritual experience, being pregnant and giving birth and walking through that process for them to become parents, as well as others who made this very spiritual decision not to continue a pregnancy, who chose to terminate. But we've got to build community around ourselves. We've got to build community to get through these next, we don't know how long it's going to be, days, weeks, months, years, together. We have got to be together. And then our last call to action is really that action planning. And so we're calling on congregations to do some asset mapping. We've got a list of questions that we're distributing to say, okay, what are the resources we already have in our congregation? What are the things that we can offer? What is our tolerance for any risk that might be incurred by the actions we take in caring for people in our community who need this care? It is really starting to do that inward turn and look at that before we are ready to do that outward care in the community.
It's really a new role that you're suggesting for congregations, mm-hmm. and religious communities across the country to do this asset mapping and to create places for story and for a community of conversation around reproductive health. That's a new role for a lot of congregations, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's a new space to do the roles that they're already doing. Sacred leads out of the Reproductive Justice Framework, which is a framework developed by Black women in 1994. And the framework is broad and intersectional, and it is at the intersection of social justice, human rights, and reproductive rights. And so the tenets of reproductive justice are the right to have children, the right not to have children, the right to bodily autonomy, and the right to raise the children that you do have in safe and sustainable communities. And so it's that last tenet that I think congregations have been really good at. We recognize these other social justice issues. We understand for Christian folks, I come from a Christian tradition, and we're leaning on Matthew 25, the call to feed the hungry, to care for the sick, to clothe the naked. Congregations have been doing stuff like that forever. This is very natural. And so what we're saying is don't segment out people who need abortion care. Don't segment out pregnant people as a separate, different part of your mission. Include that. Include these people. Include people in your congregation in that full community care. What do we need now that the landscape has changed? What do we need to have to help us make the decisions to have children, not to have children, and to raise the children we have in safe and sustainable communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After the Supreme Court ruling, you said, let's be clear, abortion access is a moral and social good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who consider themselves Christians would not agree with that. Can you, you know, you're a theologian, you're a minister. Can you help our listeners understand what you mean by that? That this is a moral, that access is moral and a social good.
Before we do that, I have to give a little plug. We're going to have yard signs soon that folks can access that will say abortion is a moral and social good, and will say abortion bans are against my religion. So check out Sacred for more of that. But I think it's really important to take up that moral space. For far too long, we've watched the white evangelical and conservative Catholic Church build this movement that is rooted in a morality and a theology that is rooted in patriarchy, that equates a fertilized embryo, like a fertilized clump of cells, with a full grown human being. And it's time for all faith leaders, especially for us who are Christian, to take up moral space and say, no, we respect and trust women and all pregnant people. We trust them to make the decisions that are best for their lives and are best for their families. And we've got to challenge this notion that it is rooted that, well, if this abortion is so immoral, then there can be no argument against it. But what if we position it as a moral and social good? What if we look to our sacred texts and we say, well, what does it actually say? And if you look into the Christian Bible, there is no mention of the word abortion. There are actually those stories that our Jewish siblings also speak on a lot, that there's an example in Exodus that says if there's a pregnant woman who's injured in a fight nearby, and if she miscarries, if she has a spontaneous abortion as a result of this injury, then they're paid a fine. If she dies, it is life for a life. So our sacred text is laying out these laws for community that say, okay, a fetus is worth something, but it is not the same value as the life of the pregnant woman. Additionally, there's a text in Numbers 5, 11 through 31 that is not one I would normally go to as like, here's a good moral text.
Right.
However, there is a ritual that says if there's a man who suspects his wife is having sex with another partner, he can take her to the priest, and the priest will make a potion that if she is guilty will cause an abortion, will cause a miscarriage or a spontaneous abortion, to prove that yes, she was cheating or no, she was not. And so, you know, when folks say, well, the Bible is against abortion or God is against abortion, if abortion is immoral, and our actual sacred texts don't say that. They don't say that abortion is not a moral and social good in all cases, at all times, for all people. There's literally a recipe, some might say. Now, does that still violate the tenets of reproductive justice? And like, does this violate the woman's bodily autonomy? Yes. So I want to be very clear on that. But, you know, the argument that I've heard from so many anti-abortion people of faith just doesn't seem to hold up water when we actually hold it up to our sacred text.
Thank you. Yeah. I know that for many people, this is a very real experience. Having an abortion, considering an abortion, or knowing others. But just make it real for us in a way that you're comfortable. Can you share any kind of stories of individuals who are really facing, who are up against it now because of these restrictions? I'm sure you have worked with many, many people, but is there any kind of story that you can share to help us, feel what this is like for people?
Mm-hmm. I am thinking about our partners who are abortion providers, and my heart breaks for them every single day since June 24th in some situations, but in Texas since September 1st, as they've had to call people and say, I'm sorry, we can't give you the care that we need. We're very capable of giving that care. You know, we have everything that you need, but you just can't access it here right now. And the folks who are getting responses of, well, that's not fair. Of course it's not fair. Folks who just descend into tears, folks who are so terrified that they cannot get the care that they need, that it leads them to get physically ill in that moment. And I am just, and the trauma that that puts on people who are providing this compassionate care, having to say no again and again and again, or, you know, those who, again, as states are putting in trigger bans and not, like, literally day after day, we have no idea the state of abortion care in a given state, because it's just like, it feels like a pinball machine and the whiplash is just so great. And okay, well, we can book you if you've got a second appointment, but not if these first appointments. And so this is just sort of the, we're reaching that fever pitch of what has been decades of a movement to overturn Roe v. Wade, to end the constitutional right to abortion in this country. But this is also built on years of smaller restrictions that have been placed that have already made it so hard to access this safe, normal, essential, compassionate abortion care.
Right. Are there any final things that you would like to say about where people can find the resources that people are eager to need for themselves or to share?
Yeah, you can find us online at sacreddignity.org. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Sacred Repro. On Facebook, it's at Sacred Repro. On Twitter and Instagram, at Sacred_Repro. We're continuing to put out resources. Sign up for our email list. We've got a 7-session curriculum for congregations who want to dig deep and learn more about this. And we'll have some more trainings for those and later in the summer. So watch out and sign up for our email list so you know when we're advertising those. And we would love to train you and be in touch and really build a strong, faithful movement in support of reproductive justice.
Great. Angela, thank you so much for being with us today and for all the work that you and so many others are doing every day. The Reverend Angela Tyler Williams is co-director for Movement Building at Sacred, Spiritual Alliance of Communities for Reproductive Dignity, an alliance of organizers, religious leaders, academics, and congregations working together to advance the cause of reproductive justice through congregational designation and community building programs. We are so glad to have you here on State of Belief Radio again. Take good care.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and be part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you also to share a State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, take good care. I'm Interfaith Alliance's interim president, Reverend Dr. Catherine Henderson. and that state of belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.